dude, we just gotta go for it. Like, just jump into it and we'll see what happens. If it fails miserably, that's okay. We tried.
Hello and welcome to the Between Dreams podcast. My name is Chris Ruggiero. Thank you for being here. This show chats with incredible people with incredible stories. Share those stories with you to help you be inspired, motivated to get out there and do something amazing of your own. This week's guests, a couple of the guys from Yes Theory. They are out making incredible things, doing incredible things, saying yes, finding out the great things that are on the other side of saying yes, things that sometimes there's a wall before us when we think about we want to do something, but there's challenges and stuff. And they're putting themselves out of their comfort zones to say yes and do amazing things. I found them on YouTube and instantly thought what they were doing is amazing. They live in Los Angeles, so I hit them up. They said yes, because that's what they do. So I went down to their place in Venice Beach. They have an awesome place, and got to chat with them for a little while. So you're going to love it. Thank you again for listening to the Between Dreams podcast. If you like this episode, do us a huge favor. Tell a friend. Send them a message. However you need to do it, tell somebody else to listen. If everyone listening told one friend, we would have lots more people listening. So, double, you might say. So thank you, as always, for listening. And if you remember, you can listen to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. You can go to chrisruggiero.com/podcast. From there, you're able to send me a message. Send me a message. Let me know what you think about the episode. If you have other guests that you would love to hear from, let me know, and I'll reach out to them. Otherwise, you can listen on the podcast app on your phone, or on iTunes, or on Stitcher, or on Google Play Music. That's also on your phone. And that's it. So thank you guys for listening. Here we are. Yes Theory, Between Dreams podcast. Thank you. Here we go. Yes Theory.
Yes.
If there was ever somebody who I knew would be an easy guest to get on the podcast, it was a group of people who their mission is to say yes to things.
Uh-huh.
And here we are. It worked.
It worked, exactly.
So we'll start off with you guys can introduce yourselves, and then we'll give a little bit of a background of what it is that you guys are doing and the mission of what your work is all about.
Cool. So my name is Thomas. I'm one of the four members of Yes Theory. I'm Swedish and French, so my accent will be confusing and switches at times. But yeah.
And I'm Matt. I'm 24 years old and also a member of Yes Theory, and I'm American and French.
Cool. So, I like how you guys introduced where you're from.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that a little bit. How did you guys come together from these diverse backgrounds?
It's should we explain first what Yes Theory is? Because you kind of
sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So Yes Theory is we're basically a YouTube channel, but we consider ourselves hopefully bigger than that. More of a message and a movement, and the idea is amazing things happen on the other side of yes. So our whole concept is to push yourself to get out of your comfort zone and say yes to things you might not conventionally say yes to. And so we all met in Montreal, Canada. We didn't know each other about 2 years ago now. We didn't know each other, and Matt and I met at school at McGill. I met Amar. He was uninvited at a party. we just kind of bonded over crazy stories that we both had. He's from Egypt, and then we met Darren, the last, who's the fourth member. He's from Turkey, and we all crashed on a friend's couch over that summer. He was friends with that initial friend that we were. It's a bit of a intricate story, but basically we all shared a couch over a summer and became best friends.
Cool.
Yeah.
And now we're here, Los Angeles, in your garage slash crazy
makeshift
crazy
room.
What do you have? I feel like this is like a cool collaborative space.
Mm-hmm.
There's people working on the couch inside, and then I came inside, and you're like, "Oh, don't mind the people filming on the roof."
Yeah,
it's like such a cool Venice Beach, Los Angeles thing. Of it's like keep making stuff.
Definitely.
Yeah. So I was instantly kind of intrigued and attracted to what you guys are doing from, I came across the YouTube channel, and as we were talking before we started recording, you know, my thesis of everything is just go. Similar in the thing of saying yes to things and not waiting to figure it all out. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you guys do, is you figure it out kind of as or after things are happening, mm-hmm. and you jump into things. Overall, we'll get into a specific one maybe. Is there one specific story from one of the adventures or videos that really stands out as this, like, so glad we went through that moment of being uncomfortable? Because for me and everyone listening, there's these things that they want to see that other side.
Right.
But there's a big wall that sometimes feels bigger than it really is. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are thinking about knocking and then walking away.
Yeah.
Is there anything as an inspiration to somebody who's in that, like, the best feeling after you cross that wall, after you said yes?
Yeah.
Is there one that really stands out, or a couple of them, or just one mm-hmm. of the stories that you can share with them?
There are many, like, yeah. many times where
I feel like every video right, exactly, is part of the, is that.
But I think the one that stands out is kind of how we started in the first place. It was Thomas's idea. Well, he had a YouTube channel by himself, and he was doing skits. And I liked them. I was like, these are funny. We should film something together. And then he came up with the idea for doing Project 30, which I don't know if you've seen, whereas we would do 30 things in 30 right, days yeah. we'd never done before. So each day we'd get out of our comfort zone, try to achieve a goal, film it, edit it, and release it that night. And we were planning it for about 2 weeks, and we had a list of things we wanted to do. And Thomas and I were just like, damn it, like, we're not prepared at all. Like, we don't have the right gear. Like, we don't have the right connections. We don't have anything. But we have this list. And I forget who said it, but one of us was just like, dude, we just gotta go for it. Like, just jump into it, and we'll see what happens. If it fails miserably, that's okay. We tried. We jumped into it, and then just as we did, the two other guys we met wanted in, Amar and Darren. And it just sort of snowballed into this crazy thing. And after the 30 days, we were, like, totally different people.
Yeah.
It was just, like, life would never be the same again. And then 3 months after that, Snapchat contacted us. And then that's kind of how we ended up here. But that's a whole different story.
Elaborate on that. 30 days, you were a completely different person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's worth more than just mentioning. What yeah. was one thing... What was a... So you mentioned the initial struggle of saying, right. We don't know what to do.
Right.
Maybe, like, we don't have the gear or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever. Then you do it. What's that... When did it start to feel like the relief of it? Okay, we can do this.
Mm-hmm. I think the every day was, like, hoping to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the third day, my laptop, which was the laptop we were using for editing, got stolen. And it's just when we kind of realized, we all looked around and huddled together and then powered through that. And we kept doing that every single day. We were like, each day one person would kind of, like, you know, carry the vibe and carry the energy. And we kind of realized that we quickly became a very good team of just complimenting each other and being able to push each other. And at the end of those 30 days, I think none of us really believed we would make it through the 30 days, but it was almost like, we'll just figure it out as we go.
Yeah.
And then when we actually finished, it was pretty amazing to see that we did it. And then from there, it was just like, okay, what's the next, like, mm-hmm. mountain for us to climb? And, like,
yeah.
and we kind of kept, it started, it's, I think there's something called the Zorro Circle. Have you told me about mm-hmm. this?
It's kind of like Kaizen. Have you heard of Kaizen?
No.
It's Kaizen, it's like a Japanese philosophy, I guess.
Okay.
Where it's kind of like this small step at a time.
Right.
So don't focus too much on the bigger
yeah.
vision. Focus on the little steps. And the Zorro Circle is kind of like you have fulfill one circle, then you can draw a bigger circle around it, then a bigger circle.
Mm.
And that was kind of the idea, is like, if we were just focused on the one day, we weren't looking at this immense thing of 30 new things every day.
Because
yeah. if we were, we'd go insane.
Yeah, yeah. you would just quit.
And I think the first big one we proved ourselves was meeting the mayor in Montreal. Like, we had spent several days kind of doing it
on the side,
you know, a couple yeah. hours every day. And, you know, people were laughing at us. Like, reporters laughed at us when we asked them, how could we meet the mayor? They were like, who are you? You know? And then, and we actually ended up meeting him. And, you know, yeah. we had like a half hour conversation with him in his office and just hung out for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
we showed up at his office not even knowing what we wanted to talk about, and we showed up like late because we were just finishing an edit. Like, we just wanted to see, like, is it possible to meet him? And then we just hung out with him. Like, yeah. Like, it was just like a fun time to get to know our mayor, and like, just to proving ourselves and anyone that if you just put yourself out there, like, some amazing things can happen.
Yeah. And going back to the initial 30-day thing, which was, looking back at it, I think it's a great story of another challenge. Like, as soon as you start, you're like, oh, that. And again, that I feel like so many people would be like, well, I tried. Now that almost probably felt like a sign. Should we just give up? Like,
right.
It was probably a lot of times we're like, screw this. This is hard.
Yeah.
But going through it and powering through it is so key.
Right.
And then it opens up things that you would have never possibly imagined are even possible. And then you mentioned also the Snapchat thing. Talk about that, how that opened up, I'm sure, another immense amount of opportunities.
Yeah, so one day we wake up and we have a weird email in our inbox, which was basically almost like one line. It just says, what would you think of move to Venice Beach and get paid to make these videos? And we were like dead broke. So we're like, is this one of these, like, you know, like Nigerian prince scams? So I don't think we answered for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And then one of us was like, should we just answer them and see what this is all about? And then one person answered, and then we get a full, like, block response with details of what the deal is. And it was basically an opportunity to have, to be one of the first people to have our own show on the Snapchat Discover platform. There was a new channel launching called Brother, and they contacted us, and they gave us our first budget to travel and make these videos. So we actually started out with them doing another Project 30. They really liked what we had done, and now after that, they signed us for like a year-long contract.
Nice.
We were making videos with them for about a year, and now we're about to like sign some kind of extension or hopefully get an upgrade.
Development for a new one,
for a new series.
Is there any where are you going to go next with things? What's the grand goal with what, you know, you guys are doing as you get more opportunities, more funding, more to be part of a bigger network and things, allow bigger things to happen. Is there an ideal? I know I don't like ultimate goals,
because
it's the same as like seeing this big picture. You're like, well, I don't know, but I think there's like a good thing of like, oh, what's this next step? And to go back onto the thing of you guys said earlier, but taking that one day at a time, and the remind me what that philosophy is called.
Kaizen.
Okay, cool.
Or the Zero Circle.
Yeah. And we've talked about this before. Every religion, philosophy, or something has some way of saying that don't worry about tomorrow. Do what you can do today. You know, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step.
Right.
And that's so universally everywhere throughout history.
Definitely.
And I feel like now people are not listening to that, and they see you guys with, by the way, congratulations on 200,000 subscribers on YouTube. So there's so many people out there that see that and they're like, I want that, but they're not doing the first day of the 30 days, and that's where it has to be. They're like, well, now I want to be there. How do I be there now with other people contacting you, like, well, did you make a video today? Yeah. Did you post a podcast today? Did you post an Instagram? Whatever level it is, and people are just complaining, and that's not going to work. Because
I think it's just the on-demand culture. Like, everything you get outside of like what your dreams are, like, is on demand. You want music now, you get it, you download it.
You know?
Whereas your dreams are just like you have to be so damn patient, and you say 200,000 subscribers, but to us, even now, that like we see that as just being so tiny, because we're like, now we're like, okay, we can
see what the next
but so I think the biggest thing also when you start off and taking that first day is being okay with no one really caring about what you're doing, because you're going to post videos for a while. Like, we were celebrating getting like 400 views on videos, you know, and then 1,000, and then slowly you climb. But being okay in the beginning with having no audience or having no one caring about what you're doing, I think is maybe sometimes what's holding people back. Or a few people try and then it's not what they wanted it to be, or they never got the attention they wanted it to get, and then they give up.
Yeah.
But it's just that, like, eating your ego and just keep going until you actually get to the point that you're satisfied.
Definitely.
I think is...
Has there ever been a time when you... regretted saying yes to something. I know that goes against the whole thing, but...
In our lives, or while doing this project?
Either one. If you don't want to go, we can cut that.
No, I don't know.
It might be an interesting...
Yeah.
Because sometimes saying yes is saying no to one thing, or abandoning something that...
Right.
You know, it's not about always committing to the... Because sometimes you made a stupid decision.
Right.
Not you.
Yeah,
I. And it's the smartest thing is like, no, oh, that was... I learned that that's not the direction I want to go. I'll just come back here and make a little turn and then...
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't think... maybe that wasn't worded properly, but I don't think people like abandon. People sometimes commit. They say, I'm here and I want to like be on this branch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then they go up there and they just keep going, battling to be on this branch when really like the path that they wanted to be, that they should have been, that their true like person should have been on like the next branch over.
Right.
And all they had to do was like a little bit ago, just make a little change and then they could have been there.
Right.
And now they're just stuck on this branch out here because they just didn't realize enough to, maybe my goal can change just slightly.
Definitely.
And I can be here. You know, I think I'm going through that right now. We're talking about with my live show and where I want to go. And now I want to do more about storytelling and help share people's stories. Mm. Still like being a performer, but in a little bit of a different way.
Yeah.
And that it's opened up, like I meet so many more people now and it's really cool.
Uh-huh. For sure.
So wherever that went with the initial question, if you have thoughts on it.
I don't know about you. For me, I wouldn't regret having said yes to anything.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, it's the classic saying, like, it's gotten me here.
Yeah.
It's gotten us here.
Yeah.
But I, like, we've been introduced sometimes as the guys that say yes to everything, which is just 110% not true. Like, we don't really do drugs.
Right.
Like, we barely drink. Like, we don't go out much. Like, we do a lot of exploring and like meeting strangers and all that stuff, but we're actually kind of boring outside of our work and like these adventures that we go on.
Yeah,
just because it's like what were you saying? The picture of Dorian Gray, is that the one where he was saying, whereas like the best artists are the ones that have the most boring lives almost, because it allows you to focus and like be sober and like really hone down the work. So all these people say, like, we wished we had your lives and all this stuff. And, yeah, the traveling and the doing all this stuff is dope and, like, being on your own schedule. But they don't realize, like, classic for any entrepreneur, like, wannabe entrepreneur to say. But, like, there's just so much work behind it.
Yeah.
And it's not always that exciting either.
Yeah, and everyone who's gotten accomplished things have sacrificed a lot of other things
definitely
to get there. A lot of times that's a normal social life and pretty much all my friends that have a decent YouTube things and everything, they're working
right
on their computer all day, every day.
Exactly.
It's not, you know, it looks like, oh, you post a video every week or every 2 weeks sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, cool. That must be a fun life. Like I have a buddy, who I'm probably going to see tonight and he is working.
Yeah.
Right now. Like, and all day, every day, he's working it on his YouTube channel, and people think it's, like, super fun.
Yeah.
And it is. It's, like, the coolest thing ever to do, but it is work at the end of the day.
Definitely.
You, like, get to, like, put in the time.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any other specific stories of specific challenges or videos that you guys did that, in a way, stand out? Sort of positive, negative.
For me, and I think for all of us almost, one that's become even more special now, is we went to Nara in Japan, which is a city that has a massive abandoned amusement park.
Mm.
And we snuck in the middle of the night and explored the whole place. And it's gigantic. It's the size of Disneyland, but abandoned. And like the offices are still intact. There's old pictures of the people working there still like in their drawers. And it was one of the eeriest like experiences we've had, and they just demolished the whole place the past couple of months, so it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
But it was like a world famous like urban explorer location to go to, and we just saw on Instagram today like an urban explorer went and just filmed the whole place. It's just ruins on the ground.
Wow.
And it was such a memorable moment for us that now no one else will get to experience, and so we're so almost amazed that we were able to experience it and capture it and share that with our audience and with ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that one kind of stands out as, I don't know, it was just very, it was a very immersive experience just walking around.
Yeah. Yeah, and it makes it more special, like you said, now that it's just gone, yeah, but you created something that will live.
Right.
Yeah. Even just for you guys to look back on a lot of this stuff.
Totally.
It's like people have like cool adventures, but then there's something about going back. I know I go back and like look at old videos. I'm like, I'm so glad I did that, made that, or even a photo or something. You're like, wow. Because again, we're in this time of things just like happen and then they go away instantly.
Definitely.
The Snapchat world. But there's something nice about creating something that will live for a long time at least.
For sure.
And the older the picture or the video, the more valuable it becomes. Like, you know, at that moment, you're like, I don't need this. I remember that.
Right.
You know, or like, I don't need to capture that. Or,
yeah.
But it's only with time that you realize the value of what you've actually captured.
And which is why it's so cool for us. Like, we were talking about this when we were, like, in line for food the other day. Like, damn, it is so sweet that 20 years from now, when we're, like, older men with kids, we can show our kids, like, what we did
when
we were, like, in our 20s.
Yeah.
That we have all these crazy memories recorded and stories.
Yeah.
Like, that is going to be so fun to look back on.
And that's kind of our moral compass as well. It's just like, is this something we'd be proud of in 20 years?
Yeah.
Like, we do things, you know, that are, you know, we sneak into movie premieres or crash Oscar parties and all these things. And, you know, they're not technically legal, but we're we're trying to make sure that we'll still be proud of this as like a fun memory later down the line.
And nothing that's like immorally.
Mm-hmm. Right. It wasn't mean or harmful to anyone. Right. It was just with the best intentions. And when we actually got in, you know, we made sure everyone there had a good time. And we weren't like pranking anybody or being mean to anybody. And that's kind of like how we tried to just make sure that we, like, have some kind of filter for the ideas that we end up picking. And that's why it's not yes to everything, but yes to things that can be, interesting and fun for everybody, basically. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to maybe share a little bit about that process of coming up with, so again, people that are listening, I feel like there's a ton of people, me included, who want to create things, videos and stuff, but a lot of times I don't start because I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't have this idea. I'm going to talk a little bit about your process of how you come up with the ideas of, because doing a lot of things, I feel like a lot of it, we would just be like, okay, we did a lot of these things. Especially now, it seems like all these things, where do the initial ideas, and then how do you develop them into a product? By consistently, because you guys are consistently putting out videos, so it's not like you can like spend a half a year coming up with an idea and refining it, like what a traditional, you know, TV show or movie would have more people and way more time to like create this thing, and you guys are like rocking them out.
I think it's just being obsessed with what you do, so that you can immediately recognize whether that idea would make sense. And since we all think that same way whenever we're out or even talking to each other, the second like somebody mentions something, we're like, oh damn, wait a second, like let's work off of that. Like even when you came in and you told me your story of like being a juggler and like a traveling on the road and doing all this cool stuff, my immediate thought is always, okay, like is there a way we could make an episode with him, and if so, what would it look like, you know? And that's like anybody we meet that's very interesting, like that's the first thought. So we tend to accept people very easily as well, because there's always something cool you can pull out of like people, and like it's fascinating, you know. Everybody's got a cool story, so I think that's it, is just always being on the ball and ready to accept new ideas.
Your environment, like we feed a lot off that, off the people we meet, off the things we see. You know, we watch The Wedding Crashers and we're like, let's do that. Or you know, we see a video of a guy that crashed a James Bond premiere and we're like, we're doing that, you know what I mean? Like we keep feeding off our environment, and then when it comes to actually sitting down and coming up with ideas, that's kind of chaotic. Sometimes we just lock ourselves in a room and try to aggregate just a bunch of ideas, and then feed off each other and try to, you know, make ideas more and more creative in different ways. But
yeah,
it's pretty much what Matt's saying. It's a lot of it is once you're on a idea seeking like mode in your brain, almost once you turn that switch on, you just feed off your environment every time you come across something new, come up with a new idea.
And I think that switch is an interesting thought of like switching that, because a lot of us always have this thing of wishing, oh, I wish once I get this gear or once I have this opportunity, mm-hmm. then I'll be able to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing, that kind of in a related thing of switching your gear of like, I have everything I need. Mm-hmm. And I can just start now if you just are in that mindset of like creation instead of wanting to create.
Right.
Then it's just like things seem to fall into place. With me, it's like, if I just go out and do stuff, right. then other things that are seemingly unrelated start to fall into place. And I think it's just a mindset Definitely. Change of Definitely. I just flip that switch. Like, okay, I'm not going to like wonder why this isn't working. I'm mm-hmm. just going to go do something.
Yeah.
And then make things work.
Definitely.
So that's really cool.
It's a, oh, just one more note. I love this. Have you read Happiness Advantage by Sean Anker?
I didn't. I have it. It's like on that book. That's on one of my really? Lists oh, of it's things incredible. To, yeah.
You should definitely check it out. In one section, he talks about the Tetris effect, which is when, like, scientists had people play Tetris for, like, hours at a time, and then they, like, let them go in the streets and had them come back and tell them what they saw. And day by day, the more they played Tetris, the more people saw the buildings around them. I think it was in New York City in the shape of Tetris. Right. And they were trying to, like, how could we, like, put these pieces together, you know, these buildings together? And so the idea is pretty much the second you put your mind in this sort of format, mm-hmm. it starts seeing the world in that way, mm-hmm. you know? So we see the world in people that have incredible stories and that we want to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah, that's a really cool thing of, again, that's perfectly in line with mm-hmm. that, like, focus on what you want to focus on.
Yeah.
And then...
Exactly.
You can either spiral down into this like mm-hmm. dark thing of nothing's working, mm-hmm. or you can create that spiral up wherever you're sucking up all the, you know, inspiration and creativity to build something that you are imagining and picturing and wanting to create.
Definitely.
So it's like really important for everyone to hear.
Yeah.
Just a thought can change.
For sure.
Everything.
Yeah.
Totally. Like a real physical world around you can be
100%
that everything around us was just, you know, created because someone thought about something
definitely
and then did it.
Yeah
And I think it's because it's so hard to sit down with a like a blank sheet of paper and be like, I'm gonna come up with some ideas, but
yeah,
if you have that switch on, walk around, then you'll feed off your environment.
Yeah cool. So is there any other specifics, take homes that you want to, or we can wrap it up here with, well, my ending question is typically something along the lines of, there's somebody listening who is at that wall of, they're not on the other side of yes, they're wondering with that wall that we talked about earlier. They can almost picture themselves doing the thing that they're doing, whatever it is, if they do a live theater show or start their own podcast or start their own YouTube channel or whatever it is. And they're at this thing of still writing down in their journal or Facebook posts about how they want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they need some inspiration from people who are out there doing it. What would you say to that person? First. You guys can both give your...
If you added up the total number of like failed projects and businesses amongst us, the four of us, I think it would be how many, like 10?
Probably
more than 10 before, like within the 2 year span before we started Yes Theory. Which is kind of the problem, is like people expect their first idea to be this huge thing, like all of us did for our startups,
mm-hmm.
and all of them like kind of failed miserably.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is like if you start now, you're gonna fail 8 times, and then eventually it's the, like, again, the classic thing, like you'll get that thing that you worked for all this time.
Yeah.
And it'll help you learn how to actually manage that. So we've all, like, started our own stuff and ran our own businesses. So we're better prepared for something like this.
Yeah.
So start now is the main advice I have.
Yeah, and there'll always be excuses or reasons in your mind to have better timing.
Yeah.
But I guess for us, it's why the fuck would you wait? Like, why are you waiting, you know? There will always be... There'll never be a perfect time, and there'll always be a reason not to do it. And literally just whatever creative... project you want to embark on or company you're trying to build, it's literally just starting and telling everybody you meet that you're trying to do this thing. And that's what I did. I just started telling everybody I met, and I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, I have a camera, I have some ideas, here's what I want to do. And then slowly, you know, I got just surrounded by like amazing people, and then we built this thing together. So it's just even just telling people around you what you want to do, you know, putting your intention out in the universe and then starting to lay out the next logical steps to actually get there, and things will start taking shape.
Definitely. But even you, like, writing a book is something people dream about, you know?
Yeah.
It's on everybody's list, pretty much.
Right.
And that 99% of people don't do it.
Yeah, and I talked about it after I did the book. I wrote another blog post about it, and it was like an experiment within itself. Like, it was about Just Go, but I feel like now I could write the sequel to it about writing the book. Okay. So I just, like, did everything myself. So, like, I don't know how to do the layout and all this stuff, but I was like, a YouTube tutorial later and I'd know how to do it.
Right.
And then I was like, it wasn't easy, but it also wasn't impossible.
Definitely.
You know, and I wrote about how in 6 months, I just sat down and spent 6 months, wrote it, and did all the layout, and then I had went from a blank computer screen
to
something that you can hold in your hand. And if there's anything that I can share to people now that we're talking back about this, is like that feeling of holding something or seeing, you know, one of your videos go to 1,000 views or 100 views or 100,000 views or 1,000,000 views is something that will power you through all of the, you know, self-doubt and everything else that you went through to initially get started. So I guess in summary, like, it's worth it. So
definitely
get started.
Yeah.
Totally.
And that's what you guys are doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So cool. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
And thank you for spreading this message. It's awesome.
Yeah. And it's like perfectly in line with what you guys are doing. So for people who are not following you yet, of course, there's the YouTube channel. Where else do you guys want to send the listeners?
Everything is Yes Theory. So Instagram, Snapchat, it's all Yes Theory.
Whatever platform they prefer.
Yeah, cool.
We're active on all of them. So
great. Whatever you guys like. Check it out. It's worth it.
Yeah.
So thanks, guys.
Thank
we'll wrap
you,
it up
man.
There.
Appreciate
awesome.
It. Yeah. Cool. Thank you so much.
Sweet.
Great. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Really means a lot. I've been meeting people out at performances and things, and more people have been coming up to me telling me they listen to the podcast, and it's just amazing that we're it might sound cliche or whatever, but I really think this is more than just listeners listening to something. It's a community, a family. We're building something that is hopefully helping people, inspiring people, or at the very least, entertaining people. And it really wouldn't make much sense to do without you guys listening. So thank you very much for being part of this family that we call Between Dreams. And I love hearing from you guys about what you think of the episodes, if you have ideas for other guests, or if you're up to something cool. The easiest way to get in touch with me is follow me on Instagram. That is, Instagram username is One Man Variety. That's spelled out One Man Variety. No spaces or anything, just those three words, One Man Variety. And you can send me a message from there. And I would love to hear from you what you're up to, what you're creating. I can look at your art that you're doing and the photos that you're taking. Such a cool place for us to continue our conversation and to hang out. So thank you again for listening. That is it for this week. We'll be back with another episode next week. Tell a friend, keep listening, send me a message, see you on Instagram. Thank you, and goodbye.